Hello, and thank you for listening to the Public Sector Inc. podcast. I'm Josh Barrow, and I'm glad to be joined today by Andrew Biggs. Andrew's a regular contributor here at Public Sector Inc. He's also a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where he writes extensively on employee compensation and pension issues, as well as on Social Security reform. Andrew's written a very interesting piece for us this week on job security as insurance for public employees. The basic idea of the piece is that when we compare compensation between the public sector and the private sector, we need to consider the fact that public sector employees enjoy really great job security compared to their counterparts in the private sector, and that job security really has a financial value that we should be measuring as a component of compensation. So, Andrew, can you just give us a quick overview of the argument in your piece and as an item that we're missing in these public-private pay comparisons that people talk about so much?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion of public sector pay, comparing pay for federal workers or state and local employees to the pay that people in the private sector receive. And you get a number of comparisons, looking at salaries, looking at the generosity of health and pension benefits. One of the points that's mentioned a lot but not really quantified is the extra job security that public sector workers enjoy over private sector workers. According to statistics from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, a private sector worker has an approximately 20% chance of either being fired or laid off in a given year, whereas for federal employees or for state and local employees, it's only around a 6% chance. So even if they were earning exactly the same salaries, public sector job would be much more attractive because it has effectively an insurance policy against losing your job. And as anybody who looks around you in today's economy can tell you, losing your job can be a traumatic thing, not just financially, but from the general standpoint of your well-being. So being protected against that is really, really valuable. What I try to do is put a dollar value to that insurance.
Great. So how do you do that? I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense intuitively that job security is something valuable, but how do you figure out really how much it's worth?
Well, it's a little tricky to explain in a podcast or even on paper because it utilizes some tools that economists use. But there's ways of valuing the insurance against any risk, of valuing the insurance against having your house burned down, of having an adverse health outcome. What I try to do is assign some of those tools to job security. And what you do is you start by looking at the salary of a job, but then you factor in the probability of losing your job in a given year. What that tells you is essentially what you call the expected salary. I mean, let's say you had a job that was paying you $100,000 a year, but it had a 50% chance of being fired or laid off. Well, in that case, your expected salary is only half that amount, only $50,000. What you find is that the expected salary for public sector workers is a lot higher than for private sector workers, even if they had the same ostensible pay, just because their job security is greater. From there, you can extend it further, though, and find that people are willing to accept a certain salary that's below even the expected salary, because it would be a salary with no risk. In other words, there's a premium people would be willing to pay in terms of a lower salary to get better job security. And I quantify that in this article.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, and to think about a simple example, if you had two options, one of which was that you had a 75% chance of receiving $40,000, and the other is that you have a 100% chance of receiving $30,000. On average, you get the same amount of money in either of those cases. The expected amount of dollars received is $30,000. Yet, people would tend to prefer the certain $30,000 because it's the same average with no risk. And so that you can see a chart in the article here that tries to quantify how much it's worth to avoid that risk and to try to find an equivalent dollar amount. There's some amount of money that if you were offered a 75% chance at it, that you'd probably take rather than the sure bet of $30,000. It's just an amount that's significantly higher than $40,000.
Exactly. I mean, to put it another way, almost everybody would take the certainty of receiving $30,000 over the 75% chance of getting $40,000. That's just a standard result that almost anybody would accept that because they like the certainty, they dislike the risk. What you find, though, and you can get this out from survey data where they ask people questions, most people would accept a certain income below $30,000 rather than accept the 75% chance of getting $40,000. The amount of the discount a person would accept below $30,000 is based on how risk-averse they are, how much they dislike the uncertainty. And what some surveys find is public sector workers tend to be very risk-averse compared to private sector employees. In other words, one reason they congregate in the public sector is because it offers such greater job security. If that's the case, though, they should be willing to accept significantly lower salaries to compensate for it. What you find when you look at pay data, though, is they're not accepting lower salaries. They're actually often getting higher salaries than private sector workers. So you have a bonus involved there.
So do you have a quantified amount for dollars, you know, how much that security premium is worth for public employees to get an idea of magnitude?
Well, I took a worker who was receiving a salary of around $40,000, which is around the average for the economy as a whole. That's actually underneath or below the average for public sector workers. And I accounted for the fact that a public sector worker has only around a 6% chance of being fired in a given year, while a private sector worker has around a 20% chance. The difference comes out to be around 18% of salary in terms of the extra job security they get. In other words, public sector employee should be willing to accept a salary around 18% lower than a similar private sector worker to get that extra job security, to get that only 6% chance of being discharged versus the 20% chance you have in the private sector. So when you combine this with other academic research that shows that federal employees receive straight salaries 10 to 20% higher than private sector workers, you've got a pretty big total job premium. They're getting overpaid on the salaries, plus they're getting extra job security that's worth around an extra 18% of their pay. So it's a pretty big deal.
I mean, that's a surprisingly large number to me. I know when I looked at it, 18 sounded like a lot. I mean, when you compare that, for example, to the value of retirement benefits that public employees are receiving and that work for the federal government, I guess I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I think even if you look at pension benefits on a market value basis, that's not going to hit 18% of salary. Health benefits on average are not going to be worth as much as 18% of salary. So this is really perhaps the most important fringe benefit that government employees are receiving in a lot of cases, even more valuable than their pensions or their health care.
Well, when you think about it, the difference between the 20% likelihood of being discharged and 6% likelihood, that essentially means that private sector workers are over three times more likely on average to lose their job than public sector workers. And the problem when you lose your job, particularly in the private sector, is you lose it at exactly the same time when everybody else loses their job. You know, you lose your job when unemployment is high and new jobs are much harder to come by. So it's a very, very valuable protection to have that goes beyond the basic statistics. When you talk to public sector employees, job security is something they'll always cite. I mean, they'll never admit they're overpaid on salaries, but they'll often cite the greater job security in the federal sector or the public sector as a whole. So obviously, they're very cognizant of it, and they know how valuable this is.
So in the end of the paper, you sort of pose a few questions for further research that might help refine these results. I mean, I don't think we want people to take away the idea that every public employee is receiving a benefit from job security that's worth about 18% of salary. That's based on average figures, and there are certain things that you point out that you might adjust for that could move that figure actually in either direction. Do you want to go through a little bit what those are?
Sure. I mean, the basic point of the article is to lay out the logic of this, of saying that job security is valuable and that we have basic tools that can assign a value to that. One thing we need to fine-tune is, well, what is the probability of being discharged in the federal government? In the private sector, on average, it's 20% in a given year, but public sector workers can be different in a number of ways from private sector workers. They tend to be a little bit older. They tend to be more educated. Those things might affect their probability of being discharged if they themselves were in the private sector. You also want to think of the amount of time the typical person might be unemployed. We know how long that is on average, but we want to get to a specific number for federal workers. We want to think about the effects of unemployment benefits. We want to think that if you're let go from the federal workforce, what's the salary going to be in your new job? All of these factors, when we better account for them, could push this 18% premium in one direction or the other. But what we try to do is lay out the logic of it and say, well, how do we fine-tune this by getting better data and better numbers on things?
Well, great. This is a really interesting new topic, and I'm sure we're going to be looking forward to more updates from you on this in the coming months.
Oh, happy to do it.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us, Andrew, and thanks everybody for listening to the Public Sector Inc. podcast.